everybody in the outer world. We are the Infinite Loopcast. We being me and Aaron, who's being quiet there.
Very
in the intro.
Very quiet, yes.
So quiet. Sighs away, sunning himself in Skegness.
Yeah.
And we're still Annalus.
Yes, yes. We need to catch up with Anna, see what she's up to.
Do you think she's playing a game of Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, and she's just decided that she's Carmen Sandiego?
Yes, yes.
Do you remember that game?
Vaguely. I never really played it.
You had to. You basically had to figure out where in the world Carmen Sandiego was.
Yeah, because it wasn't it a bit of a school game?
A bit.
Yeah. A lot of people played it at school, I think. But it was a bit after I was at school.
Okay. I didn't play it at school. I played it at my friend's.
Okay.
He was the first person I knew that had a CD writer as well. The two facts of which didn't have any coincidence.
No, of course not.
No. But yeah, that discovering a CD writer itself, I was like, whoa, this thing can make CDs.
Yes.
It must be magic. And they were really slow. They were like two times or four times.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah. The early writers took ages to write CDs. Just ages. Because I used to have to do it for work. And just the pure slowness. That's why everyone was still backing up to tape. Because it was actually quicker.
What was quicker?
Backing up to tape than backing up to CD.
Oh, I see.
Even though everyone thought CDs were indestructible.
CDs...
Because that was the promise, wasn't it, when they first came out?
Yes.
You do all this stuff to CDs and they'll never stop working.
No, but of course they were immensely easy to scratch.
Yes. And one little scratch on it and that's it, it's gone.
Except, you know how to fix CDs, right?
Toothpaste.
And peanut butter.
Okay.
Put peanut butter on first and then rub the toothpaste over it.
Oh, okay.
Then that repairs it perfectly.
Okay.
Bizarrely.
Well, to some extent. Because, obviously, the toothpaste... It depends on the toothpaste, but most toothpastes have a mild abrasion in them, which is what actually works. I don't know what the peanut butter does.
I don't know, but it's definitely a thing, the peanut butter.
I don't know. I think
the thing you can use
toothpaste is
sodium, bicarbonate of sodium as well.
You've got to be careful. Because I used a cleaner, some sort of special cleaner on it that was supposed to do it, and it just made a big mess of the disc.
I got polycarbonate filler.
Okay.
Which I guess would work.
You've got a couple of options, haven't you? You've got to basically try and get the scratch out one way or other. You've either got to fill it in to try and make it so that the light can pass through the scratch.
Mm.
What's happening is the laser hits the scratch and refracts, so it doesn't work very well. So you've either got to fill it in or sand it down a bit so it's slightly smoother, so the light can pass through and doesn't refract. So that's what you're doing effectively.
No, I'm just reading online. Apparently, wax would work as well.
Okay, yeah, fill it in.
Yep.
Try and...
like chapstick, Vaseline, liquid car wax, anything like that.
Just to try and
meld
the surface.
I guess the peanut butter must be abrasive.
Or it's just the grease in it that you're using.
Maybe.
The oils in the peanut
butter. It did say you've got to use like rubbishy quality peanut butter.
Yeah.
So yeah, that could be a thing.
Could be, I don't know. We don't really do that anymore because most machines don't have a drive-in now. I've got a drive-in one of my machines. But...
I've got a drive-in one. Correct, yeah, I've got a drive-in one. And I was thinking the other day, like when I was thinking in my head what I would do for my next PC, one of the considerations was, would you make it with a drive?
I want to put a drive in my other one, but I've broken. Because I had a problem early on. Half of my SATA ports don't work. So actually sticking a drive in is a bit tricky at the moment. So I'll have to have a look at that. See what I can do, because I want to put a Blu-ray drive, because I've got Blu-ray software that I bought, but yeah, I don't currently have a Blu-ray drive in my PC. I don't have to have a Blu-ray drive because I've got a PS4 hooked up here, so it's not the end of the world if I don't have a Blu-ray drive, but yeah, it's good. Yeah,
cool.
You don't need it for much, do you?
What, a CD drive?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I use it quite a lot these days because Chloe Light has just got her little kiddie CD player.
Yeah.
So I make little CDs.
Okay. Well, I was burning DVDs for the kids. Basically, just make copies of the DVDs we have so they can have them in the car.
Okay.
Because one thing about DVDs in the car is they will get trashed.
Yes, they will encounter the peanut butter that we just mentioned.
Yes, yeah, they'll go be on the floor in without sleeves, without anything, and just all over the place. So, yeah, but I think they've managed to somehow ruin the optics on the CD players in the car, so they no longer play. Either that, or it's just it's moisture and cold and heat and stuff just ruined them. So I'm now having to rip the DVDs we have and put them on SD cards so they can play them in the car. Because the DVD players have SD card readers in them.
That sounds like a total pain.
It is a pain. Because you can't... I haven't been bothered to do... Blu-rays are a nightmare. DVDs you still do. And luckily half the stuff we've got is on DVD, so I've just got Captain Scarlet on DVD.
Okay.
For them. So that's...
Is in the classic
series.
Yeah,
the original.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's on DVD, so I'm just thinking about ripping that, because, it's on a 6-disc box set. I think it was cheap or something, it was dirt cheap.
It's not exactly a mainstream show anymore, is it?
Yeah, so... Because most of the stuff we have is, that sort of stuff. It's cheap rubbish.
Wholesome.
Yes, wholesome. So we've got Trumpton, Camberwick Green. We've had all these. Yeah.
We'll have to discuss this after the show.
Yes. Yeah.
Not that I'm going to suggest making me a copy.
Yeah. Because we've got Bagpuss and all those, we've got all the old 80s box sets of children's TV programmes. So yeah, so we've got those, and they watch those, and then they watch some of the Disney stuff as well.
What was it? It would have been 70s TV show.
Okay.
With the train at the beginning.
Train at the beginning.
Yeah, it was like Thomas. No, it was like Camberwick Green. Chigley.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you got Chigley?
I don't know. I think so, because it was in... It's the same...
Don't do this to me. Don't.
I don't know. I'll have to check.
Build me up and then knock me down.
Because it was a box set.
Okay.
That had Camberwick Green and...
It would have Chigley in it, because that was set
probably,
in the same thing,
yeah,
wasn't it? Because Chigley was the train that went to Camberwick Green.
Yeah, and then... what was the other one?
Trumpton,
yeah. And Trumpton was next door with the fire station.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't
have
know.
Have we
how
gone to...
Oh, CD drives.
CD drives, right. Let's move on from 70s TV shows. Aaron, you've been playing one game, and one game solidly, and it's not Elite or Minecraft. Something has happened in the universe.
Yes, yeah.
How do I pronounce this? Is this Elans? Wylands?
I don't know. I've been pronouncing it Wylands, and a lot of people have been pronouncing Wylands, but apparently they want it to be pronounced...
Islands.
Islands, or Yelands, or whatever. Because apparently that's the origin of the word islands.
Mm. I'm Googling that now.
But yes, so... Yeah, I've been playing this. I've been speaking to some guys I know from Star Citizen.
The word island derives from Middle Earth English... Island, with an I-L-A-N-D.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing Old English used to be a Y?
Possibly. Possibly from Norway? Would it come from there? Norwegian? They used quite a bit of
Old
Ys.
English letter I. I'm going to go looking this up. You carry on.
Yeah, so I got introduced by some people I know from Star Citizen, testing and all that lot. And they basically said, oh yeah, we're playing this, why don't you come on and play with us? So I said, oh no, I don't want to buy any more games, that I'll play once and not play again. Because it is it's an island survival game, you know, like Stranded Deep and half a dozen other games. But it's quite finished. There's a lot of stuff, because Bohemia Interactive make it, so it's got a reasonable... Obviously, they haven't finished DayZ yet, but, yeah, they're doing quite well on this. It's coming along. It's multiplayer. What they haven't got at the moment is a decent working dedicated server. So what you do is somebody runs it on runs their game and then opens up their game to allow you to jump in via Steam Friends or whatever.
Okay.
So that's how it works at the moment. So
yeah, the art style reminds me a bit of Dragon's Quest Builders.
It's sort of that. You can do mining. You can go out and just mine your way through the island. There's all sorts of monsters and stuff and magic and things. You can build yourself up from a stone axe all the way up to, I think there's flying ships. I don't know. I've tried to avoid spoilers.
Okay.
So because basically what you do is when you discover a thing, so say you discover iron, then that unlocks on your crafting tree anything that you can make with the stuff you've discovered so far. So as long as you've discovered the resource to make it, then that's fine. So you discover iron, and then you can make an iron ingots. And then from there you can craft an iron... I can't remember what it's called now. An iron rod of some description. And then things that can be crafted with that iron rod, you then automatically unlock in your crafting tree. So it's a matter of trying to craft all the different things you can to make, you know, to make the most of everything. To make yourself up the crafting tree. So there's no... experience and skill points,
as well as the crafting tree. Is there a skill tree, like a maybe a mage type thing?
No, there's no skill tree.
Classes, that's what I wanted.
There's
class
no
trees.
Classes, no skills. It's just about equipping yourself and then actually just killing whatever you can with whatever you've got. So I've just got gunpowder.
Okay.
I'm just about to make myself a pump-action shotgun and shells. Having gone up from a bow and arrow and stone arrows. So I bypassed steel arrows completely. So I'm going for a pump-action shotgun.
With arrows?
And I can almost make a car. I need to figure out how to make the wheels. I've got the tyres.
So you're going to make a shotgun and you haven't invented the wheel yet?
Yes. I haven't invented.
I feel like you would be a really useless, like.
It's great because I can make a combustion engine, but I can't make a wheel.
That's ridiculous. Surely part of a combustion engine is a circular piston, a circular end piston.
I can make cogs and I can make all sorts of stuff, but I haven't figured out how to make a wheel yet to go inside the tire, because I've made a tire.
But a tire's round.
Yes, I know it's round. But for some reason, I've worked out how to make the spokes.
You're missing the skill to make a wheel.
Yeah. So I understand round. I just don't understand how to make a wheel that works, apparently. So I need to figure out what I've not made.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I need to basically just go... I could just go through my entire craft list and craft one of everything. That might take me a while, but you know, I could do that. And then at least I'll have crafted everything. Because in multiplayer, you don't have to craft everything. As long as you've picked it up, you know about that item. So by picking an item up, so it's weird because you can skip bits of the skill tree by somebody throwing you. So somebody could give me a shotgun. And I may not know how to make, you know, most basic... I may not know how to make iron ingots, but I know how to make a shotgun. But I know a shotgun, and you know, you can skip a whole section of the skill tree by somebody just handing you over a half finished product.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know how to make the basics. So yeah, it's a bit strange, but yeah, it's quite good. I've had some problems because they're in the States and I'm obviously not. So I've been disconnected a lot. But apparently it's a bug, so they're fixing that. So they're going to make it more stable.
It is something I play, but I just get the feeling that it's the sort of thing that will come in a Humble Bundle pretty quickly.
Well, I don't know, because it's still in early access at the moment.
So yeah, Ark was a game of a monthly.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't know, because Ark's a bit more... I don't think Bohemia will let it go cheaper yet. It was on sale over Christmas.
Was it?
Yeah, I missed it.
How much was it over Christmas?
I think it was... Was it down to £8 or something?
That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
That's at the sort of take a punt level.
Yeah, that is. But I missed it. So, yeah, I'd pay a bit more. I think it was 12 or something.
12?
Yes, a whole £12.
Outrageous!
I know. So, yeah, it's not a horrendous price. It's a, you know, pick it up. I assume it's going to go up a little bit when it's released. You may have to pay 15, you know, 20 quid for it when it's released, but yeah, in early access. Yeah, it's quite good, but yeah, I've been playing an awful lot of it because I've got a single player game, and then obviously I'm playing multiplayer when the guys in the States are on. Because obviously I'm waiting for them to come online because I can't go on the server because it's one of their machines.
I just typed in Wildlands and I got Yu-Gi-Oh!
Okay.
I wanted to. So Wildlands dedicated service, you can, it's got a separate game that you run for a dedicated server.
Has it?
Yeah, if you type it on Steam, Wildlands, one of the results is Wildlands dedicated server.
Oh, okay. I didn't realise they'd had it.
So it's got, I was just looking at the little clip here on Steam. It's, the art style's very, it reminds me of Silicon Valley on the N64. I don't know if you ever played that. Did you ever play Silicon Valley?
Yes, I did. No, not on N64, no.
So it's sort of... It's like Wildlands. It's very polygonal.
Oh,
intentionally,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It does look quite nice. I don't think it's something I'd throw money at.
Yes, I know why the dedicated server's a problem.
Why?
Because if you run the dedicated... At the moment, they've got a bit of a problem. If you run the dedicated server, you can't then start the game. It says you're already playing it because they've used the same Steam ID. So effectively, okay. Use the same Steam asset program ID on both.
Oh, the numps.
Yeah, so you can't run it twice.
Schoolboy Steam error.
Yes, it is. I don't know whether it's free though. So if I've got my second account.
While Aaron's looking at that.
Yes.
Me and Aaron played a game together this week.
We did.
Played a board game on a computer in a computer game.
In VR for me.
One of you was in VR. One of you?
One of me. Yeah, there is only one of me, but yes. One of me was in VR.
You were in VR, I was in non-VR. They call it flat. Have you noticed that on Reddit?
No.
The current Reddit term for non-VR gaming, i.e. regular gaming, they call it flat gaming.
Flat gaming, yeah.
I guess you can get 3D gaming on a monitor as well.
You can. There's not much of it, I have to say.
So I don't like that description.
But it is all flat.
But it... I guess...
I guess maybe you can say...
But VR's flat as well.
No.
The screen is flat. You may be perceiving depth, but the screen is flat.
Well, I don't know. Some aren't, but yes.
I think this is something to wind Psy up with when he's back from a...
Yes. Yeah, because I think some of them have two screens, don't they? So therefore, it's effectively not flat as such. Depends on how you classify
how technical
it.
We really want to be.
Well, yes, because in theory, my monitors aren't flat because I've got three of them and they're all angled at different angles.
Well, each monitor is flat.
Yeah, each one is flat, but the screen surface isn't there. So it's curved around.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Yeah, all right, I'll give you that.
Depends what.
Don't being so pedant. So what game were we playing, Aaron? Do you remember?
Burgle Brothers.
Burgle Bros.
Yes, if you like.
Burgle Brothers. Burgle Brothers is a cooperative heist game where you play burglars. And we were boigling a bank. And the idea is that you enter through the first floor of a three-floor building in this particular scenario that we played, and you escape through the roof, having cracked three safes, one on each floor, and avoided the guards. It's a mystery in that when you enter the floor, all the tiles are on their back, so you don't know what each square is, apart from the one you've entered in on. And you've got to discover the floor layout and plan your route on the fly. And at the same time, there is a guard patrolling. And if the guard catches you, you lose some stealth. You lose one stealth. I think. Yeah. Yes, one stealth.
Yeah, you spend effectively, you spend a stealth to stay hidden.
Yeah, and you've got three stealth tokens in total. If anyone loses all three stealth tokens and then gets caught, it's game over.
Is it game over for everyone, then?
A game over for everyone.
Okay.
So you want to protect the weaklings. I think that's the easiest explanation. There are more technical things, like you can hack. So there's various traps. So there's thermo traps, fingerprint traps, dead bolted doors, keypads, and safes that you've got to crack, obviously. And there's various, you know, there's ways that you can make the environment work for you, or maybe even work against you. And there's a few little mechanisms just to make sure that you actually do stuff each turn. So if you don't do enough, you've got to draw an event card, and an event card could be good or more likely bad. And something unexpected happens.
Yeah, it was quite fun.
Yeah, the only thing that I was going to say is you were struggling a little bit because of the VR interface.
Yeah, the VR, because the table was so big,
It looked tiny for me.
Yeah. Because the table was quite big, reaching over to where you were, because you can't move around the table, which was weird,
right.
I thought, on the tabletop simulator. You couldn't move around the table. Or I couldn't figure out how to move around the table, should I say. So I had to basically fire my pointer at the thing and then pick it up remotely. And it was a bit fiddly.
So I ended up doing all the stuff and Aaron just told me what to do.
Yeah, I did eventually work out how
flip. You managed to flip stuff, yep.
Yeah, because if you pull down on the thumbsticks on the... Because it's designed for a Vive controller, annoyingly. So if you pull down on the stick, it flips the card. If you push left or push right, it rotates it. Don't know. There's a push-up. I don't know what that does.
I don't know.
So I'll have a play with it at some point.
I've tried Tabletop Simulator in VR, I just lifted my hands and the whole table went flying over.
Yes, you can flip the table.
Yeah, found that one out the hard way.
That's a strange one. Because, yeah, you can. Obviously, you can do that normally anyway. That's part of Tabletop Simulator.
But I want to play some more Tabletop Simulator games.
Yes.
So we've got a little list. I'm not sure all of them are author approved.
Okay. Was that one author approved then?
No, but he's put a thing out saying that as long as you credit the game and give links and stuff, then he doesn't mind. I think that was the latest state of play.
Okay.
I could have misspoken. Anyway, so the actual game is by Tim Flowers, and it's called Burgle Bros. And if you go to burglebros.com, you can buy it. I got it through Kickstarter, and it's a doozy. It's a great game. He has also released an app, which is probably more appropriate to most of our listeners, on iOS and Android. And you can play the game. If you're playing on a tablet, you can sort of play the game with... I mean, I guess you could do it with a phone, but it's a bit more fiddly. And you can play the whole game on your phone. Different scenarios. It's got all the characters, things like that.
Is it single player then on your phone?
Yeah, you can do it single player on the phone.
You do it multiplayer as well?
Yep.
Okay, so different people can have different phones and... Or would you all...
Oh, I think it's all on the same... Yeah, it's a hand around. There isn't online multiplayer. But it's a good one to get hold of if you're going to be playing more of it.
Okay.
because you can sort of train yourself up in what the different characters do and things.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. So it's well worth a Raz. I don't know if we should say what else I've got one on the list. I feel bad when I don't know if these are approved. Let's move on.
I really wish Tabletop Simulator would get a grip on this workshop stuff.
So they've just started putting out paid DLC for Tabletop Simulator.
Okay. So that makes more sense.
So right. So
one of you has to at least have bought the game.
Correct. And they're not ridiculous. I mean, they're not games that I'd want to play particularly. All the Tiny Epics are on there.
Yeah.
So Tiny Epics are series. So Tiny Epic Quest, Tiny Epic Kingdoms, Defenders, Western, Galaxies, all of those are on there.
Okay.
The Great Dinosaur Rush is on there, which is quite a fun game. I don't recognise any of the others. But there are quite a few paid DLCs on there. Spirits of the Rice Paddy, apparently. Dunno. Zombicide's on there, which is the only paid DLC that I have heard of. That is much cheaper than buying the board game, because the board game's about £60.
Okay.
If you want to get Zombicide, which is a cooperative zombie survival game. So it's Left 4 Dead on a board game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doable.
Yeah. Looks really good. But it's, so it's £60 on physical, because you've got all the miniatures.
Yeah.
But on DLC for Tabletop Simulator, if you wanted it, would be $6.99.
Yeah, sounds about right.
But as long as you've got... This is the trouble with Tabletop Simulator. Board game, everyone's got friends. And generally, those friends at some point will go around to your house or you'll go around to their house.
Yeah, you see...
Not everyone's got people who use Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah, but I've got more people that have Tabletop Simulator than I do come round the house.
Well, maybe you should be getting Zombicide.
Yeah, I don't know.
It does look... I mean, I know it's official, but it looks... Brilliant, the mod.
Yeah.
They've really done a nice job.
Yeah, I might be looking at some of these.
Tiny Epic Quest, if you want a sort of Carcassonne meets Command and Conquer, is very good. It's a Carcassonne-esque game, but with a bit more conquesting rather than just building. But again, why is Carcassonne not on there? I mean, I'm sure it's on the stupid thing.
Yeah, I'm sure it's on
Workshop.
But
it's, yeah. I don't, like, that's one of the most obvious games to put on there.
Because I just love Munchkin. Because I've got Munchkin around here somewhere.
I love Munchkin, but I don't have anyone to play it with.
Yeah. That's the problem I've got. I'm going to get the kids into it at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Because they'll love it.
Yep.
But I'm not sure... The eldest will probably get the hang of it, but the others probably not so much.
Mm.
So, yeah, I've got to work out a time to sort that out.
It's really hard. I mean, the weird thing with Tabletop Simulator is it's got... Because of the workshop, it gets the games just as they come out. So the moment a game's released on Kickstarter and it's been Kickstarted and sent out to the public... Somebody just uploads all the assets and makes a workshop game of it on Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah.
So you just... I feel like people should just automatically release it on Tabletop Simulator as well as paid DLC.
Yeah.
Because then surely Steam would take it, like, would block anything that was released for free. Wouldn't they?
No.
Really? If someone put a workshop content and you said, whoa, we're selling that...
Yeah, you'd have to... go through and curate it and flag them.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You'd have to flag it.
That is the problem.
So you'd have to have somebody that goes around flagging all this content.
But there's lots of famous things on there. I mean...
I know. It's just ridiculous how much...
Warhammer. You never need to buy another Warhammer game ever again.
As you say, Munchkin's on there. Just... So much.
I mean, everything's on there.
Yeah.
Everything.
What was it 18,900 items?
Yeah, people. Because it's not hard, especially card games, you just scan in the cards.
Yeah.
Although no one's actually made a virtual reality game yet. Have you played virtual reality?
No.
Do you watch Rick and Morty?
No.
Okay. So, forget it. It's a Guess Who the Bad Guy Is game. It's based on one of the episodes.
Oh, okay.
Where there is a parasite that makes people think of happy thoughts.
Okay.
And it gets slowly weirder and weirder as more parasites start to take over the thought space. And this game is a case of finding out who's human and who's a parasite.
Alright, okay.
It's quite fun. I've played it once, and it's the sort of game I would like to play again, because I don't think I fully appreciated it when I played it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's not on there at the moment, but just flicking through it looks like the vast majority of things, it's like CCGs that I used to play at school, like the yeah. Star Trek CCG, the Star Wars CCG, is on there with every single card ever.
Yeah, there's some weird ones as well. There's just a model, effectively.
Yeah, but that's because you can import that into
other games then.
Other mods.
Okay.
Yeah, as I've discovered on one of the ones that I looked at, there's a lot of like, get this mod first, then this one, then this one.
Okay. So you use effectively use counters. Because I suspect it would be quite useful for tabletop roleplay as well.
Oh, yeah. It's got all of them.
Yeah.
It's got everything on there. You mean like in Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah,
and stuff?
Yeah. Pathfinder, yep. That sort of stuff.
Pathfinder, yeah. That's one of the names that I've seen on the list. It's all on there.
Yeah, so that... Yeah. Oh, blimey, there's quite a few. Yeah, so that might be... That'd be quite nice.
It's just a shame that there's no way to support the actual product apart from game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wish Tabletop Simulator made a bit more effort on that because I just feel uncomfortable with it. Talking of developers making an effort, I was on the Battalion 1944 beta this week.
Yes, yeah, I did get access. I got a code, but I was on Warlands all weekend. I don't know whether I fancied it.
I sucked.
Did you?
So hard.
It's
a Twitch shooter, and I knew it was I kickstarted this ages ago, and which is how I'm on the beta. It's a Kickstarter, but it's now going to be a really cheap to buy game, and they're doing now an open beta. I think this was open beta or closed beta. So the graphics aren't there. Like, that's the first thing. But it's being made by a studio that's formed of people who have all worked on major first-person shooter stuff. And it's basically meant to be a hark back to days like Day of Defeat.
Okay.
Do you remember Day of Defeat?
So it played, vaguely, yes.
It played very, very similarly to Day of Defeat. So very twitchy. You die very quickly, but you respawn quite quickly. However, there are clearly either very good people or people who have learned the maps. There was a lot of camping that went on, but that's not the game designer's fault. Well, no, because, I mean, it's the beta. You know, it was one map, so everyone was playing one map. So obviously these people were putting in a lot of time for one map to learn that you could jump up on a crate to go up to next to something. Do you know what I mean?
Although that's one of the reasons to have a beta, is to find out where all the camping spots are. And
there were quite a few alphas. I mean, I was going through my email and I was surprised at how many alphas I was meant to have taken part in. So they've been testing this consistently, and then their actual netcode is rock solid. I was really impressed. Like, the matches were very fluid, everything worked. It's a game in progress, and I've got full faith that it will be a really good World War II based Twitch shooter when it's done. But I think it's got a little bit longer to go. You know, although this was a beta, this is, as they say on the release, this is beta 0.5. Like, this is, you know, nowhere near release. They've got a lot to go. There's a lot of assets that need building. The UI is completely rudimentary. But the game is fun. It's, you know, it is what it said it should be, which is a Twitch shooter. It's very twitchy, very shootery. Yeah.
Probably just as well I didn't go on it then. I'd been really, really...
You would have been worse than me. I think my kill... The average kill to death ratio on the servers that I played on was something in the region of 10 to 1 or 10 to 2. 10 deaths to 2 kills. On my one, on me, I think I had 15 or 16 deaths to 1 kill.
Okay.
So I was edging on a third worse or half again worse than...
Yeah, you say when I played Planetside, I was medic, engineer. I played support. I didn't play shooter.
I didn't see a support class. Now, I could have been wrong. There were different guns. You could use a Gamma and a... I was on the Allies. You could use a Gamma and a Tommy gun type thing, a Barrett machine gun, and a pistol, and a sniper rifle. I didn't see an option to run medic. So I don't think it's going to have the whole Battlefield revive thing. I think they are going much more for the Dead Defeat, die, respawn, die, respawn, die, respawn. The churn.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good fun to play. I'm really looking forward to the next beta. It's definitely one of those ones to watch. That's Battalion 1944.
Yeah, we've got an interview. I'm just editing the 360 footage.
Ooh.
But I've been playing too much Wildlands, so it's not out yet. But I have got it ready. I did email them actually to say what footage have you got? What can I use to go on the video? But they didn't get back to me, so...
I've probably got access to a media kit.
Okay, if you have, then, send us a link and, get hold of it.
I'll have a gander. The other thing that I've been doing is Oxenfree on the Switch.
Okay, I've really enjoyed it on the PC.
I'm really like the whole dialogue thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Really swish.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting thing, and you can just not say something, or you could say something, or...
I thought to myself, what happens if I say...
I don't know how well it works in general, but yeah.
So basically, for people who haven't got a clue what we're talking about, the bubbles appear above your character in the spread of three, as if they're the three buttons on a control pad above the... You know, you get the diamond of buttons. So they appear as the left, top, and right button on the button side of a control pad.
Okay.
And those correspond to the different buttons.
Yeah.
And you can choose to press or not press, and the conversation flows really beautifully. So you can, if you press too early, you will interject and interrupt somebody, and that could have a negative consequence on what they were thinking or doing.
Yeah, and they may get upset with you if you interrupt them.
And they
do get upset with you.
I
really annoyed a couple of people.
Yeah, so I've done worse than that, Aaron.
Oh no.
I've actively tried to kill people.
What?
Do you know what? At the beginning of the game, where you're at the campfire...
Yeah.
I thought to myself, I'm going to kill you all. And I want to see if I can. And you can't quite do it. But, yeah, that whole campfire scene just felt so awful. It didn't work as a scene.
Yeah.
Because was it
now.
Truth or slap? It was just so banal.
Oh yeah,
it was that awkward grown ups trying to think like teenagers, trying to pretend to be grown ups thing.
Yeah,
it was just really awkward. That scene in particular was dreadful. But then it started to get really good. The bit in the cave with Eklund, and then the forest was. Oh, I had to turn the switch off. I was playing really late at night. And I went into the power station and did the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I just turn off.
I haven't finished it yet, I don't think.
Have you not?
I'm quite close to the end, but I don't know what happened.
We can't talk too much about it because it'll be spoilery.
Yeah.
I have found two out of the three people.
Okay. I can't remember.
I have found a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
But I've not found anyone that I would want to definitely kill yet, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I might be not quite as far as you then.
Okay. Have you done the control tower?
Yes.
Have you done the forest?
I think so. I think I've been back to the town.
Oh, you're back to town already?
Yeah.
Okay, oh, you're like an hour away from the end. Yeah, you're near.
Okay.
It's only about 4 hours.
Yeah, it's not long, but yeah, it's so long ago since I played it. So I played it when it came out. So I don't know whether I backed it or something. I got it quite early, I seem to remember. And then
so,
not played it since. Did I get it on the PlayStation? I can't remember. I think it was on the PC. I'm fairly sure it's on Steam. So have a look. But yes. I'll,
yeah, so yeah, I'm, I really enjoy Oxford. At the moment, it's on sale. I don't know if it's on sale everywhere.
Still on sale. It was in, on sale in the States. I heard people say.
It was definitely on in the UK on the Switch, but I don't know on everything else.
Yeah, I played 3 hours.
Oh, so yeah, you must be getting there.
Yeah. When was that? God, I can't read. Oh, so it's been terrible. January 2016, I got this.
Oh wow, you found out. Well, I got it in a. I've got it in two forms. It was on Games with Gold.
Yeah.
And Cy got it on the PC at some point as well.
Yeah, he's been playing it. I can see.
And so I've had access to it, but I've never really wanted to get around to it.
Yeah.
Again, this is the type of thing that the Switch has done.
Yeah. Well, because it's making it portable. But then
yeah.
I've got that with some Steam anyway, because I've got it on the tablet.
Okay.
Because I've been playing Wildlands on the tablet. It's not really powerful enough to play on the tablet. You can just about play on minimum settings, but it's still a bit glitchy.
But could you stream it from your PC on your tablet?
Oh yeah, I could do, but that would mean having my PC on here, and oh no, probably couldn't, because I'll be at work. Because it's normally at lunchtime at work I play on the tablet. If I'm in the house, I'd normally just play up here at the PC. I could stream to the tablet or any other machine, I guess, within home streaming from Steam. I stream to the tablet, and I could just stick a 360 controller in it, or Xbox One, or Bluetooth a PS4 controller, something.
Because it's pretty cool in terms of in-home streaming. It works really well.
Yeah. I've used it before, but I tend not to. I tend to be here playing just on it.
I'm trying to think if I've played anything else. I don't think I really have. There was the news today about the PlayStation Not Quite Amiibos. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen that. I saw the the Nintendo cardboard.
Have we not talked about that on the show?
No.
Oh. What's it called? Nintendo Labo?
Labo.
Looks amazing.
It's short for laboratory, isn't it?
Is that what it's short for?
What I'm hoping is that they'll release a sort of a pseudo programming language for it.
What do you mean?
Well, something like an easy gaming, so you can move sprites around the screen. So you say, you make your own game up on the screen, and then you say, right, if you tilt the controller this way, it moves your thing this and do that. And then you can build up your own cardboard things to go with those games. Hopefully, something like that. You can build up some logic. Only basic. Maybe do some sprite-based 2D graphics. Platformy, that sort of stuff as well. Allow gravity and things. And then, say, just assign different controls to your different buttons or different rotations as you see fit, and then you can make whatever cardboard you want to make this into a thing. So effectively you could have your own skateboarding game, maybe, where the tilt controls where your sprite goes around the screen. That'd be quite nice if they could do that and actually make it a experimenting type thing, rather than, because I assume Labo was short for laboratory and that sort of thing. So it's about,
I mean, it does make sense, doesn't it?
Thing like that. But at the moment, you get a piece of cardboard that you cut out exactly as they say, build it in the way they say, and run the game that they've provided for that. So it's not really a laboratory. It's more of a do-it-yourself game. Whereas if you could tweak the software to do what you want, and you can make your own cardboard out of just, you know, cereal packets and, you know, Amazon delivery boxes or whatever, then that'd be great. The kids could actually write, design their own games and design their own cardboard to go with the game.
I know what you mean, but frankly, what they're doing with the cardboard is so cool. Like kids around my sort of kids' age, like just as they get towards 5 or 6.
Yeah, it's great. Whether you're wanting to put your Switch inside a bit of cardboard that your kid's throwing around the room, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think they would throw it around the room, though.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think they'd be alright with it. No, I wouldn't give it to the little one, but Chloe would be alright. She'd be responsible.
Okay. Because obviously, as part of it, you've got that visor thing for the robot.
Well, the robot kit by itself is about £60. I mean,
it's more than that. It's about 70, isn't it? It's $80.
They've already gone down. As in, people have started to compete on price.
Okay.
So the basic kit has gone down to £52, and I think the robot kit's £59.99 or something.
Okay. Because it was quite expensive when I saw on Amazon.
They've already started to compete, as was to be expected on these sort of things.
Because you can print out the, you can download the cardboard bit. Obviously, you still need the game. But I don't know why they don't just sell the game digitally and say.
So here's the thing. So that they did, that was something that was reported in the news, but it's all got a bit confused, because some of the news sources then said afterwards that you would have to pay for stuff. But I don't know if that's, you'd have to buy the game digitally, as you said, and then you get an unlock code, or if you buy it physically, you get an access code to a section on the website.
Oh, that's a bit weird.
Do you see what I mean? I'm not sure that it's going to be freely available on the website, or if you have to proof of purchase necessary type thing.
That's weird. Why would you do that?
What would they do? What?
Make it so that you had to have a code to download the cardboard stuff.
I guess so that people don't pirate the game and then.
But they can pirate, if they're pirating the game, they'll pirate the cardboard.
No one's going to pirate cardboard, Aaron. Don't be ridiculous.
You know, photocopy cardboard is, you know, a lot easier than copying a Switch game. The protection is.
Although it's not just
the
cardboard, is it? It's all the reflective stuff, and there's.
Yeah. There's the extra bits that you have to have.
Cables and.
I can understand them selling those bits as well, separate, but I don't know. Are they only going to allow you to download it twice or something? I'm trying to restrict how many times you can print it or something?
I have no idea.
It seems a bit weird. You know, it's.
Look, it's Nintendo. They will do whatever they want.
It's just.
Frankly, with the amount of Switches they're selling, I don't think they need to worry too much, because people are just falling over themselves.
It could be great. There's so much potential here, and they could just mess it up again.
They could.
Because Nintendo aren't known for completely following through with an idea.
Mm.
Hopefully they will. Hopefully they'll get it right. They'll just say, yes, cardboard is cardboard. You pay for the content and just release a whole bunch of mini games that you can just do cardboard with.
I think it could be. It's got the potential to be really cool.
I suspect you'll see other developers getting on board with this.
Yeah, I suspect you're right.
Because they've got a steering wheel, haven't they? And a motorcycle. I think with two of them.
They've got a steering wheel, yeah. And they've got my favourite one was the fishing rod. Did you see the fishing rod?
Yeah, it's a bit limited, that.
But it was a fishing rod. It looked amazing.
No, because the steering wheel, you know, any number of car games could just add support for that.
Right.
Because all it is a control scheme.
Yes.
They just need to add the control scheme to the game, and bingo, it works. Just add the rotational control scheme to it, and the buttons are all there. So, yeah. But don't you have to have multiple Joy-Cons or something?
It comes with, don't forget, the Switch comes with two Joy-Cons. You just need your Switch ones. You literally just need the basic Switch.
I thought you needed two in the steering wheel and then two on pedals or something.
I was hearing.
I know that the robot is four.
I think you just need one in the steering wheel and one in the pedal, I would assume.
Okay, so just go faster or go slower.
I would assume so. I don't know. Maybe it will have options to do...
Great.
If you've got two, four, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Don't know, because apparently you need four for the robot.
Different varieties. I've got no idea. It's going to be expensive either way, because it's a Nintendo thing. And it's going to be something that I wait and see how it all
pans out. And then...
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to do a very quick thing on behalf of Mr. UKVG Deals, because he's not here. But there are all sorts of ridiculous things going on at the moment. PlayStation have got a sale on that I think people should know about, because you can pick up stuff like The Last Guardian for £12. Akami HD is down to £11.50. God of War is down to £9 if you've got PS Plus.
Oh, is that the old one though?
That's God of War 3 remastered.
Okay, because I was looking at the new one.
It's not out yet.
I know it's not. I just wondered if they'd done a deal on the pre-order.
The Order down to £8.
In Division down quite cheap at the moment.
Probably, but then you own that already.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah.
The Division is probably down to a couple of quid, I would imagine. I would go and have a look for you while I'm doing this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, the Division is not down cheap. The Division is £40 at the moment.
What? Apparently Wildlands, the dedicated server, is only if you've bought the game on that account. So hopefully, there's a patch out in February that hopefully will fix that.
Oh, and Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, which is your favourite game at the moment. It's 16 quid.
I must play that again. Oh, so many
games. And these deals go on till the 7th of Feb. You can get 15 months of PS Plus for the price of 12 at the moment as well. Which, if you do it through CD Keys, who have now introduced Apple Pay as a method of payment to get the 5% off.
Okay.
So that's back on the cards. So you can do cashback and then pay through Apple Pay. So you'll get about 10% off, somewhere between 10 and 7% off their prices. It's a pretty good deal, because you'll get 15 months of PS Plus for about £41 instead of the normal £49.99.
I think I paid 30 something for 12 months last month.
Yes, you would have done, because that was the old price before they hiked it for no apparent reason for a tenner.
Okay.
It's now £49.99 a year, which is mad.
I'm not sure I'm going to pay.
I'm not sure I value that at all.
Because I'm not playing so much PlayStation full stop, and the PS Plus games I'm not that bothered about, and online play, I don't really do much of it, so...
No.
Given how little I play the PlayStation 4, and given how little I play, on top of that, online games, it's just not...
Yeah, if they started releasing games on PS Plus that I actually cared about, then maybe, but otherwise, no.
Say I want to get God of War, maybe. I've cancelled my Detroit.
Have you?
After all that scandal with Quantic. I'll see how it goes.
What scandal? Oh, the sexual harassment scandals.
Yes, and all that lot. I thought, okay, I'm in two minds whether it's going to be a big disappointment anyway. So I just cancel my pre-order, and I can always buy it cheap. It'll be cheap by the end of the year anyway, so...
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you what is on offer at the moment that you would like, is Divinity Original Sin.
Ooh, one or two?
One.
Okay.
It's down to £9.99 on PlayStation, and I think it is on the Humble sale if you want it on the PC, and I think it might even be on offer on Xbox.
Okay.
Which I'm not sure if the Xbox is playing anyway.
No, it won't be, because it's not Microsoft.
It doesn't have to be Microsoft to be playing anyway.
The only ones I've seen have been Microsoft.
Just has to be on the Windows Store. I think Tomb Raider is playing anyway.
Okay.
I think. I could be wrong.
I'll put it on Steam, but yeah.
But do you know what? We will tell people next week, because this is all we have our time for this week.
Yes.
Aaron. People want to follow you. Where can they do such a thing?
At AaronHUK.
You can follow me over at Flyshe. You can follow Cy over at Scunthorpe. You can follow Anna at University. You can email us, theloopcasters@hotmail.com. And check out... Do we still have a website? I think we do. InfiniteLoopcast.com.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
If you're playing Wildlands, get in touch with Aaron.
Yes, definitely.
If you're not playing Wildlands, don't. Until next week. Oh, if you want to play Burgle Bros with us, there are potentially another 3 spaces around our table. So get in touch with either of us on Steam. Until next week. See ya.
Bye.